Welcome to the Four Freedom Podcast.
I found my freedom in you. I found a joy I can't lose. And thank God it's true. You wrapped your arms around me, and heaven broke through from the moment you found me. I found my freedom in you.
This podcast exists bring the freedom of the gospel for everyday Christians with everyday issues. Now here are your hosts, James Seyfried and Brett Martin.
Welcome back to the Four Freedom Podcast today. So glad you're back with us. We are in our series, Freedom in the Church, and I have just really been enjoying every single week. We enjoy your comments too on social media. We enjoy your comments, your likes, your shares, your subscriptions, the suggestions that you give us every week. We read each and every comment that you post to social media. So we really appreciate all the support that our audience has given us. But we have just been in a great time, great season of life. We've got Easter coming up this coming Sunday. Great day. We had Palm Sunday this past Sunday. Great day in the house of God. We had Lord's Supper at our church, and good time was spent together, and just a great time in church and things going on. James, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, we had Palm Sunday as well. Great time there. We just finished our core values. So I spent 12, 13 weeks talking through the core values of the church. There's four of those core values that we've implemented and just some great response in our church. And then we sort of ended that with a Sunday night celebration. You may remember the Hips family from the meetup at Asheville. They're at Nathan's church that led us in worship. I had them come in and they led.
Wow.
They came in and man, they knocked the roof off the house. They brought the walls down. It was incredible. They sang, we worshiped, man. It was a great time. We had a great house full, about 80 or 90 people here, which was fantastic for our church. And we just worshiped. We did contemporary. We did Southern gospel. We did bluegrass. They did a cappella. I mean, everything you can think of genre wise, old hymns. It was there. And if there wasn't a song that you didn't know or was familiar with, then you just don't know music. And so that was a great time we had. Then we ended that night with a time of fellowship with food and gorged ourselves and hung out and laughed and had such a great time. So Sunday, Palm Sunday was fantastic for us. One of those highlight days. It was one of those days, Brett. It was a great service, a great atmosphere. But I felt you may have been there with me on this, and if not, I'm just probably out there on an island by myself. But you ever preach one of those messages, and it just sort of feels like you just fell flat a little bit. Like maybe the points didn't drive home the way you thought they were going to, or the crowd wasn't quite into it. I just told my wife, I said, it felt like the atmosphere was just a little different on Sunday, and I said, it may have just been me. But I finished and I had more comments and response after that message than I've had probably in a long time. I actually had a message from one of our deacon's wives that, I mean, pretty much had me in tears, just thanking me and thanking me for the message and the series and the challenges that I've given over the last couple of weeks and how I've challenged her and her family. And then sort of the part that just really hit me was she said, you are an answer to a prayer from our family. We've prayed for someone like you to lead our church. And I mean, I broke down like Allie, because she put me and Allie both in the message. And I was like, man, I'm humbled, because this morning I sort of fell flat. Like I didn't feel like this was even the right thing. And then all of a sudden people were reaching out. It was just sort of the Holy Spirit and the Lord just saying, I'm taking care of it. It doesn't matter where you're saying or what you're doing. Let me take care of it. And man, it was just a great time of fellowship, great time of worship. And looking forward to what the Lord has planned for us on Easter Sunday, sunrise service. We're doing communion to finish out the service on Easter. So that'll be the last thing we do on Easter Sunday is communion as a church. So really excited about that.
Well, I've definitely felt like that. I almost felt that a little bit, this past Sunday. Sunday before, I had a missionary come in. And I let her give a report. We cut some songs, and I let her give a report. And while it was good, and you know, we've supported her for a long time, it cut into my message a little bit. I had to cut it a little short. So this Sunday, I was determined. Look, I'm just gonna preach. I'm not gonna worry about length. And then the song service ran long, and I'm like, I'm still preaching. And then we've got Lord's Supper after that.
Right.
And so, you know, it was 12:35 when we finally dismissed, which is a rare thing for us. I like to keep it close to 12. But at the same time, it was such a beautiful service. People didn't care about the time. You know, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a service, nobody's looking at the clock.
Amen.
You know, and that, you know, I definitely had the same response that you were having, that, I thought I had missed the mark just a little bit, but people were saying that it was just what they needed. And so I like to have the Lord's Supper. And that's what I like about our autonomous churches. Because there's no set way to do it. You have your Lord's Supper on Easter, and I have my Lord's Supper on Palm Sunday. And so, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. The Bible just commands us to do it. Right, and so I'm thankful for that. Had a great Sunday this past Sunday. Looking forward to what we had this coming Sunday.
Yeah, well, talk about looking forward, Brett. We're 11 days from the rapture happening.
11 days.
11 days. I don't know if you've been counting down. I have been. It's been fantastic. Just knowing the Lord's coming back in 11 days. Those exactly. of you who don't know, April 8th is the day of the return of the Lord. There's going to be a solar eclipse that crosses each other 7 years apart. 7 years apart. For all of you numerics out there, the first solar eclipse 7 years ago went through seven towns of mercy, repentance. I can't remember the name of it. And so they were all seven towns named the same and crossed over. I think it was in Kentucky somewhere, but it was a full solar eclipse. And now we're going through another solar eclipse 7 years later, and it's going through the town of
Nineveh
seven times.
They're going to be seven cities named Nineveh. There's an eighth city in Canada named Nineveh that is going to go over. But of course, yeah. You know, the Bible only talks about America. But the Bible doesn't talk about no Canada.
That's okay? The evil top out of America. Come on.
But the Bible only talks about America. So we're not going to worry about that eighth Nineveh up in Canada. We're only worried about the seven Ninevehs that it's going to pass over in the U.S. Not to mention, there's one particular town in Indiana that it's going to pass over.
Let's go, baby.
Do you know the name of that town?
The Rapture Town.
Rapture, Indiana. And look, if this isn't enough evidence for you to know that the harpazo, the rapture, is about to take place, James, this solar eclipse, this is going to pass over the ark.
Your wood ain't wet, baby.
If
this don't get you excited, your wood's wet, baby. I mean, that's just all it is. I mean, this should be
answers in Genesis. We're talking about answers in Revelation, baby.
I mean, Brett, let's take it a step further. Jesus wrote seven letters to the seven churches.
Come on.
He had seven last statements on the cross.
How can you
It's
deny
going
it?
Through the seven towns of Nineveh. I mean, really, really, if we think about it, this is the end. This is the day the Lord comes back. I mean,
the
there's
only
no
sign that shall be given to you is the sign of Jonah.
The sign of Jonah and Nineveh. I mean, and the stars
that's what
there.
Jesus really meant. Not the 3 days. He's talking about the seven cities in Nineveh.
Exactly what it is. And so hopefully you're ready. Hopefully you're getting ready for this. And if you haven't been getting your theology on your Facebook reels and TikTok, you need to be getting back there. Okay. Don't get it from church. No, JC said that the other day. He's wrong. You need to get your theology from Facebook Reels, TikTok, Instagram. That's where our theology should be grounded at, first and foremost.
Dude, I've dusted off my show far.
I mean, we're ready, baby. We're in this. We're in it to win it, baby.
I'm gonna be jumping up they're gonna get me off the ground, and I ain't gonna hit the ground, buddy. I've been in the rapture practice.
Half jump, half of your half inch vertical, man. Well, you're gonna be up in the air, and then boom, it's gonna be gone.
That's right.
So we're ready, baby. So hopefully you can tell we're in a little bit of a fun bantering state, and today is a great day, and hopefully you are, Brett. You know, I'm not gonna say nothing's gonna happen that day. The rapture could happen today. Rapture could happen after this episode's released, and no problem whatsoever. And so whatever happens there, I'm great with it. The only thing is, you know, there are some unique things. There are some fun things to look at. But in the end, it doesn't matter what we decide. It's all going to be what the Lord decides.
That's right. No man knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. So we look for his return, but we don't set dates.
Yeah. I would say the only thing is take away the Jonah and Nineveh and stuff. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns.
And it's passing over the ark.
And it's passing over the ark, baby. Come on. I mean, you can't get better than that.
Sorry, I had to.
I was going more serious of how bad America is. My bad. And how bad the world is. And he threw in the ark again. He went back sarcastic, baby. Love it. Oh, man. It's been good. It's been great.
Hits again.
Yeah. So, well, we've been mentioning this last couple of weeks, and so we'll just briefly hit this before we get into our episode. We've got our meetup in Indiana. Hopefully you'll come and meet with us. We've got our Catoosa meetup in Georgia with our For the Sake of the Gospel meetup. One of my favorite conferences, Brett, that weekend is one of my busiest weekends because it's the Catoosa meetup, the RFP meetup, and then it's Sunday, I come back, and then Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday is Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday is our North Carolina State Convention, the Baptist Convention for North Carolina.
Oh, man.
So it's like 5 days back to back to back. I mean, it's just crazy, going.
I see. I'm going to go to the RFP conference, and then I'm going to take a week vacation afterwards.
So. Going up to the Ark to see it, not there, a non-existent Ark.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then we've got our Israel trip coming up in March. And so we hope you'll join us in that. Brett, we're in the church, baby. And we're talking about the church. We're talking about freedom in the church. We've had some great interviews. We've got more better interviews coming up. We've got interviews with a discipleship evangelist that is at the Mississippi Convention. We've got an interview with Marcus Merritt. We've got a couple other things lined up. But what are we talking about today in the church?
Today, we're going to be discussing colleges and seminaries. You know, there are some schools of thought out there that say the church prepares people for the ministry, that you don't need colleges, you don't need seminaries, you don't need things like that. But then there's another school of thought that those things are necessary, but though, you know, colleges can be abused and you know, it's one thing to go for education. It's another thing just to go for status, to go for letters after your name. So where do we find a balance with seminary and Bible college training? And so that's kind of the subject we're going to talk about today. And I'm just kind of open it up, give you just kind of my testimony about how I was called to go into the ministry and go to college. And it all started for me at 13 years old when I went to my first youth conference ever, and it was the youth conference at First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana.
Amen.
And so I'm there with my youth group for the first time, and I hear the infamous message, "America, America," as preached by Jack Scott, and he comes out in a burlap sack suit. Shows an abortion video. It's really hard to watch. And then through that process, I surrendered to the ministry at that point. I do believe that my calling was genuine, that I was genuinely called, had a calling on my life. And I had felt before then, really, even though I wasn't ready to admit it, that a calling on my life to go into the ministry. Now, of course, they had a college, and so I'm like, I'm going back to that college, to the same church that I surrendered to preach at, to go to their college. And one opponent that I had was my dad. My dad did not want me to go way off to that college.
So he was the only sane man in your family?
He was. Okay. But at the time, I thought he was, you know, the devil, you know, like the devil, Satan's trying to keep me down. He offered me everything. He was going to buy me a four-wheeler, buy me a car, do all this stuff to keep me from going to that cult college all way up in Chicago. He wanted me actually, Brett, if you're going to go to New Orleans, you know, go to New Orleans Seminary. That's where you need to go. But I didn't listen to him, and I went to college, and
you actually did listen to him. It just took you like 20 years to listen to him.
Took me a while.
Yeah.
But I did listen to him, definitely. But really, I was considering Hiles Anderson. I was considering Windsor Hills. I was considering Crown. I was considering PCC. But they had that devil accreditation. And so accreditation was the devil. And so we don't want none of that. We don't want the government controlling our Bible education. And so I had to go to an unaccredited college. And I decided to go to Hiles Anderson. And I went to Hiles Anderson. And we're going to get into more details about, about our experiences, positive and negative, in the Bible college that we went to in just a minute. But, you know, I went to college to get prepared. I wanted to be in the ministry. I went to be to learn how to be a pastor because that's what I was called to do. And I wanted to be prepared for the ministry. And that is why I ended up going to college. Like I said, in just a minute, we'll get into some pros and cons of that. James, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience with college?
All right. So I went to public school my whole life. Junior year of high school, I wanted to go to a Christian school. And Lord had called me into ministry, and Christian education is what I needed. And so I was a good Christian school down the road, and my buddy there, John, had graduated from there, and a couple of friends were going there. And so I went to my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, I want to go to this Christian school. I work a job. I'm going to pay for it myself." And this is my dad said. He said, "Why don't you save your money? I need you to help out taking your brother to school. My brother's 2 years younger than me." He said, "Save your money and put it toward Bible college." And I said, "Man, I really want to go now, but that's really good advice as well. Education's free. Let me just continue that." So I did, continued there, and finished out public education. And I had three colleges I was looking at. I was looking at West Coast. I was looking at Champion Christian College now, Baptist College, and a church up in the northeastern part. I think it's like Veritas or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. It wasn't Solid Rock. They hadn't started a college yet. And began looking at those. My mom and dad sat down with me. My dad laid out all these options. He said, "You can go to the Air Force. They'll pay for your education. You can be a chaplain in the Air Force." He said, "You can go to Piedmont Baptist College," which was a local college here in North Carolina. He said, "You can go," and he began laying all these things. And my mom's like, "Nope, he's not going to military. Nope, he's not going here." Like, my mom was like this bulldog. And I said, "Guys, I said, I'm going out to Arkansas to see my friends. And let me just look at the college. I may look at it and be like, nope, I don't want to go there." Got there, relatively new college, nice dormitories, stayed in the dorm one night, I think, and met some good friends and began to meet some of the administration. Of course, I hung out with Brother Eric that week and got to hear him and just seeing what was going on there. Had some friends there, had some connections, felt that that was the direction that I needed to go. And so I came back and told my parents that's where I was going to go. Cost to go there was relatively inexpensive. I think it was my first semester was $600 a month. That was room and board and tuition for a year. So whatever that comes out to be, you know, $7,200 or something for the year. And so it wasn't that bad of a college education wise. And so did that. I think it went up a little bit my later years, but it didn't go up too much. And so I could relatively afford it by working and paying for that. And so I graduated debt free. And I was really just excited about being there in college. One of the things that often gets asked, and I just had an interview, so hopefully I don't mix up all my thoughts, but I had an interview this past week with the We Are One podcast, and I shared my full story. But one of the things that gets asked, Brett, is were you fully understanding of everything that was going to be expected of you when you went to Bible college? You know, the rules, regulations, a lot of people sort of rebel when they go to Bible college. And part of that's because they are forced to go. Their mom and dad make them go. It's not their choice. And so they're going whether they like it or not. What was your perception when you went and you got into Bible college? And how did that make you reluctant or apprehensive or excited about the rules and regulations?
Well, you know, I'm kind of the same way. When I signed up to go to Bible college, I knew what I was signing up for. Like, I didn't come in to regret the rules. I didn't come in on these, you know, these are, for those who don't know, these are independent fundamental Baptist colleges we're talking about. So, I mean, I had already been wearing ties every day. I had already been doing all that stuff, keeping my hair high and tight, you know, not listening to, you know, different music and stuff like that. And so when I was first there, you know, I was like, down the line, you know, I know what I'm signing up for. I'm here. I don't mind the rules. Now, I will admit, as time progressed, the rules wore on me. And I did start going to the movies, which you weren't allowed to do, and things like
wicked,
that.
Wicked as hell.
I know. I know.
How are you even pastoring right now? You went to the movies?
Exactly.
Bless God. Bless God.
Let me turn my ordination back in.
Need to.
But man, I went to the movies and stuff. And so, but for the most part, we, you know, kept all the rules. So, you know, when it comes to that, you know, I kind of knew what I was getting into and knew what I was signing up for.
Same here. I said on I've told this to many people. They sent me the rule book when I was accepted in the college. Before I ever made my first payment, I read the entire rule book. I knew what I was expecting. Like, kids came in and they're mad, they were upset that they're making us do all these things. I'm like, dude, did you guys not read the rule book? And I guess from the other side of it is maybe they were forced to go. Maybe their parents made them go. And they were having to acclimate to something they didn't sign up for. Me, I signed up for it. Like, this was something I wanted to do. This is something that I knew God wanted for me. And so I went and just was head in first to it. And Champion wasn't as legalistic on some things. They were a little more lax. And especially now they're, I mean, they wear shorts and t-shirts and beards to school. Like, it's crazy. But then at the time it was a little different, and there was a shirt and tie and a suit coat every day before we had to go to class, and had to keep our sideburns cut and hair a certain way. And they did hair checks and white glove room checks. Like, they did all those things, and, you know, it is what it is, and didn't mind it, whatever. But out of that, there are some cons and there are some pros. Let's begin talking through some of the positives that have came out of college, going to Bible college and going to these education learning centers. And then we'll talk through sort of our take at the very end. And so I'll start, Brett. The pros for me were the life that God had for me and the wife that God had for me there. I met my wife at Champion. My wife was reached through the ministry of Eric Capace. She got saved on the bus route and was reached through the bus ministry. And her whole family began to come to church through the bus ministry. And she started going to the Christian school in fourth grade and was way behind in her education. And they helped her get her education where she needed to be, and which spurred her on to become a teacher. And then went to Champion to become a teacher. And that's where her life got changed, because she met this wonderful redheaded guy who was going to change her world forever. And so it's more of a pro for her that she got to meet me than it was for me to meet her. But again, I'm tongue in cheek there, but great time, loved it, and would not have the life I had today if I didn't go to Champion, if I didn't go to the college there. The friends that I've made, Brett, me and John, of course, our relationship grew, and others that we made, some friends that have become friends after college that we went to college with and didn't have a great relationship. I'm thinking of one that's particular that did not like him in college. And then 3 years later, when we're in Idaho, 2 years later in Idaho, we brought him on staff as a children's pastor. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I like this guy coming and working with us. But man, our friendship grew out of that. And of course, that all started out of Champion. And so a lot of great things. And I could go on and on about the fun times that we had and the memories that were made. Brett, what are some good, fun pro cons about the Bible college experience that you had?
Okay. I've got a list of pros here, and I did not pencil in wife because you mentioned yours. I was already going to talk about her. So that's something we're going to happen. But of course, first of all, just like you, my wife that I met at Tri-State, the church at Tri-State is Bethel, and Emily grew up at Bethel,
And so I met her while there. You know, we dated after a while and got married there. And I just, like you, I just can't imagine what my wife, what my life would be like without my wife. And she is just perfect for me. She was made for me. We're just a perfect match. She fills in my gaps. You know, the things that I'm deficient in, she makes up for it.
There's only a few of them, but she does.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not many.
Yeah.
Another thing is, you know, the friends that I made in college, they're still my friends today. I can call them today and they'll be there for me. These are friends that I've had a lot of friends leave me because of legalism, because I turned my back on legalism. But many friends are still right there with me. And like I have friends today that close college friends that will be there tomorrow. One good friend that I made in not in college, but out of college was Josh Westmoreland. He's a Hope Church pastor. And me and Josh grew up at Bethel. And in college, we were not friends. We were acquaintances. We were nice to each other, but we were not friends. And then when we both came out of college, we both got on staff at the same church. And there, it was like we became best friends. It's like, you know, getting buddies with somebody in the trenches of war. And so that's what it was like. So Josh is a lifelong friend of mine. And we made all these connections. I made a connection with Matt Dudley through Tri-State. And so the friends that I have, that's definitely a pro. Now, I've really thought about this. What are some positive things that I can say about my IFB Bible College experience? I think forcing me to go out and knock doors every week to talk to people, you know, that really brought me out of my shell. I was an introvert going into college. And it really forced me to learn how to be extroverted, how to come out, how to be outgoing, to kind of drop my pride, get it done. I mean, from visiting these bus routes, you know, we joke about the bus routes and we joke about Goldfish Sunday. But in all actuality, while I was in it, I was enjoying it. I was having a good time with these kids, bringing them to church, doing these crazy things. So I do enjoy that. Some other things that I thought were pros was at Hiles Anderson, the hermeneutics class had some good points. I won't go as far as to say it was all good, but it had some good points. In fact, I took my hermeneutics class under Jack Scott. Jack Scott was my hermeneutics teacher. And to be honest, I still outline my messages today how Jack Scott taught me to do it because it's functionally good. And so I still do that today. I think the location that Hiles Anderson was at was basically in Chicago. Tri-State was in Memphis. And me being a Mississippi country boy coming to the big city was good for me. Give me a little culture. Get me out of my comfort zone. I think it was good for me to get lost in Gary, Indiana one night with a buddy of mine is where leaving First Baptist, you know, who cares if it's the murder capital of the world? You know, it's, you know, it was good for me. It was good experience, or as we say in the South, it was good spurns. And it was good for me to go pass out tracts downtown Memphis. And one other thing that I thought was a pro is I took an evangelistic song leading class at Tri-State from one of my professors named Robert Fletcher. He's a one of my favorite professors. He's a pastor in a Baptist church today. I respect that man so much. You know, we're probably not on the same page right now. I don't agree with a lot of what he does, and he doesn't agree with a lot of what I do. But, man, I respect that man. And I remember he taught me evangelistic song leading. Little did I know the first decade of my ministry I was going to be a song leader. And I used what he taught me in that class a lot. It was the most practical, functional class I ever took in Bible college. And those are some positives that I did take away from my experience.
Yeah, one of the things you said that I probably should have said as well was the practical level of learning firsthand how to do ministry. One of the things under Brother Eric while we were there was, and I was going to tell you this later, but it came to my mind now again, was just the way I got to see Brother Eric cast vision bigger than any vision I'd ever seen in my life. Oftentimes, we get in our little shell of the world, and we don't see what massive vision can hold. And that was one of the things that Eric did that propelled me into ministry in a massive way, to be able to have this really, really big vision. All right, Brett. So we've looked at the pros of Bible college. What are some cons of Bible college? What are of our experience, not in general, but of our experience, what are some of the cons? I'll let you take off on this one first.
So one of my first cons from my IFB Bible college experience is both colleges, which, you know, Tri-State was a mini House Anderson, but you got Tri-State and House Anderson, both of these colleges that I went to, the college students were farm system for the church and ministries. Like, my education took a back seat to the ministries of First Baptist Church. You know, Dr. Howes, I used to hear him say all the time, because I was there right before he passed away. In fact, his last semester there was my first semester. And my first Sunday being promoted as a bus captain was the weekend he passed away. But, you know, he would always used to say, I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. And that is the biggest lie I ever heard in my life. That was totally, totally not true. I've explained on here how, you know, in my testimony, that I was expected to give my college tuition money to pay the City Baptist kids, bus kids school bill instead of my own tuition, and lose all my credits because I couldn't pay. I passed my classes, but I didn't have the money to pay. I was expected to do that as a sacrifice, and it was okay. And my division leader let me do it. The college let me do it because it was expected of me. Another con that I have is the education was just horrible. It was all, you know, House Anderson was worse than Tri-State, but it was all preference driven. I mean, I'm taking English classes geared to teach you how to explain to people why the King James English is the best version of English and why it's the better version than all the other versions. And that was the purpose of the English class, was to promote the King James Bible, because it was, English was at its peak at 1611, and the these and the thous and the thines are better than the you, because, you know, and all that stuff. And it's just, and the church building classes regurgitated the House Church Emmanuel, didn't give you any practical information, some hands-on stuff. And it was just, it was really, really, the education was definitely not up to par. In my pro column, I talked about how the hermeneutics class had some good points, but the hermeneutics class, you know, they may have taught me how to outline a message, but didn't teach me how to study for a message at all. I came out of House Anderson and Tri-State preaching some of the stupidest things that I've ever preached. You know, I look back on some of the things I used to preach, and I just cringe at the, some of the messages that I used to preach. You know, I wasn't taught how to break down a passage. I wasn't taught to look it up in the original language. I wasn't taught to read commentaries. I literally thought you read a verse, and then whatever God puts in your mind is what you're supposed to preach. And so I can remember one time I got up to, and I broke down Psalms 119, and I used every word that that chapter has for the Bible, and I kind of drew it out on a big board, kind of like I was diagramming a sentence, and it was awful. It was awful. It was the most cringiest thing I can remember. People were looking, when I would turn to look at the board, they were looking at each other like, what is he talking about? It was so dumb. I had no clue what I was doing fresh out of college. I had no clue what expositional preaching was. I have no clue what contextual preaching was. Both colleges, this is my last one, both colleges have the, you know, 1, 2, 3, pray after me mentality. I left Bible college, walked away from both these Bible colleges, walked away with my degree with no clue how to do discipleship. I had I didn't know how to disciple anybody. I thought discipling was getting them to pray a prayer, going to Goodwill, buying them a shirt and a tie, and telling them to come to church and let's go knock on doors. That's the extent of the discipleship. You know, pass out as many tracts as you can, preach topical messages that make your echo chamber stand up and say amen. That's all that I was taught to do at Bible college. And I could go on and on, but for sake of time, I'm going to stop there.
Yeah. And I will echo for me, the cons for me were the lack of education. Again, the quality of education. Since I've been out, I've had to really watch seminars and watch other classes and things online. And at the time, man,
Master Seminary.
Yeah, at the time I thought, man, this is the premier education. And then I got out in the real world in ministry, and I'm like, they didn't teach me for any of this. Like practical stuff, yeah, I knew how to handle. But it was the education side that I was just so lacking. And I wish that $7,200 a year would have purchased a better education that now I've had to pay for through IBCD, ACBC certification, and other certificates that I've pursued on. And really the greatest education that we ever got was our doctorate from the RFP. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So looking at all those things, that was one of the biggest cons for me. The other one, and I mentioned this on the other podcast I did, and so I don't want to rehash too much of it, was that Bible college became my faith. Living and breathing ministry every day, living and breathing Bible college every day was my faith. And so coming out of Bible college, I didn't really have any, and I talk to guys all the time that'll say, I just regurgitated everything that I was told. When I got up and preached, I just regurgitated a message or thoughts that I had heard my whole life. It wasn't anything that was original to me or even biblical. It was just what the professor had told me was true. And so I got up and I preached that as truth, even though I never studied one moment of that in my life. And for me, coming out of that and coming out of our first ministry and beginning to dive deep, that those 2 years when I was out of ministry was the years that I grew so much, because I began to develop my thought for why I believed it, because it was what I was studying. It wasn't what someone was just telling me. It was someone was having a seminar or a debate, and then I was studying that for myself. And I was reading books, and I was reading commentaries and going through these thoughts for myself. And it became to where Bible college was a crutch. Yeah, I've got my degree. I went to Bible college. I've got the stamp. And so now I'm ready for ministry. And it was the misconception that that's not what ministry is about. It's not about having that degree or that stamp, but it's about heart, and it's about knowing what we know and why we know it. So those are some of the pros and cons we had. And as we're looking through, we sort of wanted to get you a sort of a background of where we were at as we jump into this next portion of the podcast today of Bible colleges in the church. Are they needed? Are they not needed? Why should we have them? Why should we not have them? Brett, you want me to start or you want to start?
You can start.
All right. Bible colleges in the church. Do we need them? When I was in high school, we'll back up here. When I was in high school and I knew I was going to go into ministry, we had to got a new pastor, and I sat down with him in his office and I said, I believe that the door is opening for me to go to Bible college. And he looked at me and he said, James, if you go to Bible college, you're going to be out of God's will. I mean, 18-year-old kid, what do you expect? This is your pastor. Like, I'm going to be out of God's will. Like, okay, tell me what God's will is then. And so I looked at him and I said, Pastor, I said, what should I do? He said, well, sometimes you just need someone in your life to close those doors. And I know you said the doors are opening and you need to walk through those doors, but I'm here to tell you that door's closing. And I'm going to close that door because you need to stay here and you need to study under me. Because biblically, you should be studying under your pastor. You shouldn't go off and listen to some Bible college. You should study under me. Work your job. Work where you're at. Let me be your trainer. Let me be your Paul. Let me be your educator. And I'll train you into ministry. And looking back, I knew what he meant. I was active. I was teaching. I was doing some things in the youth, and he wanted free labor. He wanted someone to do all those things and continue to do those things instead of replacing me with someone else. He wanted to train me to continue to do those things.
Is this the same pastor with the shorts and the painting?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Same pastor. And I said, well, Pastor, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I said, Pastor, I appreciate that. I said, it's great advice. I said, let me go home and pray about it. And ultimately, I knew that that was not what God wanted for me. And so I went to Bible college. So do I think Bible college is needed? Yes. Do I think the Bible colleges are needed that we went to? Maybe for someone. All right. It was great for me. It was a great learning experience. It was a great moment. But man, all of a sudden you leave. And that was part of the thing was we left Arkansas. We were in Arkansas. We both had a degree in Arkansas. My wife had an unaccredited degree. It was a teaching degree in Arkansas. In the state of Arkansas, it was an accredited degree. She can teach at any school in Arkansas because it met the qualifications of Arkansas College and the higher level institutions. The moment she leaves Arkansas, it's just a piece of paper. She can't get a job unless it's a Christian school. And so that was sort of our dilemma when we got into some of those things. Even a Christian school like where we're at right now, part of her education wasn't really accepted, and she's having to take continuing education classes in order to continue to be able to teach there because they're an accredited Christian school that has a higher education. So some of those things, are they needed? Yes. I think they're needed at a different level. I think they're needed at accredited levels. I think they're needed at levels that are going to give the proper education that's going to educate the pastors and leaders of churches and give them the quality education they need that's going to teach them at that standard. And, you know, you can find these at Liberty and Pensacola and Luther Rice and New Orleans and Southeastern and Southern. The list goes on and on. But none of those were even a list of options when I was a teenager. And that's the problem, I think, is we're so much digging a small hole and we're not telling people about the options that are out there that are going to give them the quality education that they can need and use. And not just because that these are the colleges that are my friends go to. So
what we need is we need leadership. For somebody who's wanting to go into the ministry, is we need leadership to care about that person's ministry and not be selfish and want to hold. Because that's what's hindering a lot of people, like even your story. Like my pastor, he you know, wanted me to go to Bible college because he went to Bible college. But then when I was getting ready to graduate, he said, look, it's God's will for you to come back and work for me. And so that he said, if you don't get a full-time offer, which a lot of people didn't, he said, you need to come back and work for me at my church. And he wanted me back in that spot doing what I was doing as a teenager, where he didn't have to worry about that position and just keep me there forever. And so that was kind of his deal with that. But, you know, I wish we would have had somebody in our lives to kind of care about our ministry and what we needed and gives us all the information. Do churches need colleges and seminaries? You know, I think absolutely. Yes, a church can train, but you know, if for somebody that's going into the ministry, you need to go somewhere where not only can you get the information, but where you can also get a different view, where you can be outside your box. You can be outside your comfort zone. I think we see plenty of evidence in the scripture about people who were trained. Paul was under Gamaliel, and you know, the apostles, they went to college at the Jesus University. It only took them 3.5 years to get a 4-year degree. And anyway, but yeah, obviously, I think colleges and seminaries are a good thing. Now, I would like to take just a second and talk to our listeners about my current educational journey. It was maybe a couple years ago. I have this my Bible college degree, But I wanted to get my master's, and not just to have the paper, but to have the education that goes along with it, you know, to have that level of education, because I knew I needed more than what I had gotten. I know that the current degree, you know, a lot of what I learned in the ministry, I learned from actually being in the ministry, boots on the ground. You know, I watch YouTube videos. I watch videos of the Master's Seminary on YouTube. And, you know, a lot of my experience was, you know, making mistakes and then correcting that mistake and moving forward. So a lot of my experience is, you know, experiential experience. But one day I was like, I want to have a master's degree. And so, but with my unaccredited degree, there's no way I could do that. Well, then I found out about a program at Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida. And what they do is you go to them, you say that you want to, you know, get a bachelor's degree, accredited degree, and they will look at all of your, you know, they have a program, an interdisciplinary program. Well, they'll look at your transcripts from all these other colleges, IFB unaccredited colleges, and they'll sift through those credits and your grades and, you know, accept the ones that go towards the degree. And what was all said and done, they accepted all of my credits from Hiles Anderson and all of my credits from Tri-State. They accepted all those credits. And their minimum requirement is 32 credits. So they said, okay, you come take 32 credits with us, and then we'll give you an interdisciplinary bachelor's degree, fully accredited for your bachelor. And so that's what I did. I got financial assistance with this. James, this program only cost me about $125 a month.
Wow.
And it took me about a year and a half, that's working through a summer. And, you know, I wasn't full time. I was doing, you know, at the most 3, maybe 4 classes at a time. But I worked through it, and I'm graduating. I got finished this past December. I'm graduating next month. I'm graduating in May. You know, I'm driving down to Jacksonville. I'm going to walk across the platform, get that bachelor. And then I'm already, I'm already enrolled to begin my master's program at New Orleans this coming August. I'm going for my MDiv, my Master's of Divinity. And I don't know if I'll go for my doctorate or not. I might just stop at the master's and we'll just see what happens. Now, one of the cool things that New Orleans has, that New Orleans Seminary, if you are pastoring a church of 150 people or less, they have a scholarship called the CASCI program, the CASCI scholarship, the CASCI program. And through the CASCI scholarship, if you pastor a church 150 or less, they will pay 100% for your schooling. Wow. And so I'm getting my master's completely free. You know, so I say this to anybody out there that A, wants to have an accredited degree, but you don't want to go through another 4 years of college. This is an option for you. You can go to, and I'm sure there are other places, other colleges that have programs like this, but I know for a fact Trinity does. I did it all online. I'm up here in Mississippi. Trinity's down in Jacksonville. You can do this all online. You can get an accredited bachelor degree, and you can have that accreditation. And then for a pastor out there that wants to pursue their master's and you have an IFB college degree, you can do that and then go to somewhere like New Orleans that has this CASCI program, do it all online, and it'd be 100% paid for. And so these are all options. So just because you have that degree, you don't want to go through another 4 years of college, but you want an accredited degree so you can further your career or, you know, further your goals or get the education that you want to get that you didn't get the first time, there are options available. And I'm living proof that you can do this. So I definitely wanted to make this information available to anybody who wants it, because this is a situation that I was in that I know other people are in.
That's fantastic. I love it. Love that option. You know, Brett, I don't know if this was your case. This was not my case until I sort of got into Bible college and began listening to other people. But oftentimes I would hear a pastor say, every young person in my church needs to go to Bible college. Mm-hmm. Was that the thought for you guys?
Yeah, we did said the same thing.
Yeah, so that's the part.
Even if it's just for a year.
Yeah, go get your certificate. That's what I'm not for. I'm not for every single person. I mean, some people may know that they're going to be a doctor or a lawyer. Why would they go and be at a Bible college for a year, two, three, 4 years if they're not going to be able to use that in their actual field of what they're going to be in? And so that's where it's using discretion. It's using discernment. If you know what you're going to do with your life, if you know where you're going to be at, don't waste your time going somewhere. I would not say that I wasted my time going to Champion. I believe God had me there for a purpose. I believe God showed me things that I wouldn't have seen elsewhere because I was going to be in the ministry. It's a different animal. And so,
you know, you can go to a regular college and take a Bible class. You can take New Testament, Old Testament survey at a regular state college.
Yeah. And there's options like Liberty. There's options like Pensacola that offer some of these higher education, you know, bachelor's, master's, doctorate programs that are going to offer some of these things. And I'm not promoting any of those, but it's being wise with where you're at and knowing what your desire, your will for God is of your life.
Now, I will say in the state of Mississippi, the Southern Baptist Convention has three schools. Mm-hmm. They are Blue Mountain, which is in the north. North Mississippi, and the Mississippi College, which is in Clinton near Jackson. And then you got William Carey, which is down in Hattiesburg. These are the three Southern Baptist schools in Mississippi. And for me, you know, my oldest son is 16. You know, soon he's going to be graduating high school. We're going to be sending him off to college. And, you know, we could send him to a state school. This is just me. I'd feel more comfortable because he was homeschooled his whole life. We've homeschooled our kids. I'd feel more comfortable with him going to, you know, a Baptist school. So those are the three schools that we're going to be looking at as it gets close to him graduating. I like Mississippi College because right now they have a scholarship where if you live in the state of Mississippi, you get to go to college for free. The only thing you have to pay for is room and board, and it's the closest college to us. But I also don't want to rule out Blue Mountain and William Carey if, you know, if we can get some good scholarships from there as well, because these are all three good schools. I definitely want him. So I'm sure your state has options like this, but for our state, these are the three Southern Baptist, colleges through the Mississippi Baptist Convention Board, and those are the ones we're looking at for our kids.
Yeah, that's cool. We've got two of those in North Carolina. It's the Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute, which is a 2-year associate's degree level, and then we've got Southeastern. They're over in Winston. No, I'm sorry, Raleigh-Durham area, and that is the two that we have. And so, and they've just partnered together to where you can take adjunct classes at Fruitland and get your 4-year degree. And you can also take satellite campus classes at Fruitland to get your 2-year degree there.
Yeah, and another thing I forgot to mention, when I say these are Southern Baptist colleges, I'm not saying they're all ministry colleges. At each one of them, you can go for ministry. But they're accredited, and they have other, you can go for nursing. My son Colin, he wants to be in computers. He wants to be a computer engineer. And so they've got a computer engineering program at Mississippi College, which is what he wants to go for. So yes, just because these are, you know, Southern Baptist colleges doesn't mean it's all ministry. You know, they have regular professions there too. My youngest son, he wants to be a preacher. He wants to be a pastor. But my older one, he wants to go into computers, and I'm all for him doing that.
Love it. Well, I hope this has helped you today. I believe that higher education is a good thing. I don't think it's an end-all be-all, me personally. I don't think that you have to have this higher education in order to be successful in life. A high school diploma. Man, there's some of the richest people in the world have simply a high school diploma. Some of them are high school dropouts with a GED. What we're saying is there's not a one size fits all when it comes to your higher education. I have very little, if any, desire to go past my bachelor's degree. Where some guys, they live for that master's and doctorate, like that. They live for education. And that's just not where I'm at. And so it's understanding that and not allowing someone else to dictate sort of where you're at in your life. And it's just understanding who you are and how God's designed you, and not repeating the same mistakes that we've made in the past. It's allowing us to have freedom in that area.
Absolutely. And I just want to end by saying, look, you know, if you do want to further your education, and look, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I think that if you're in a situation like we were in, you've got this piece of paper from an IFB college that holds no weight because it's not accredited. There are options for you. You don't have to throw it away. You don't have to start over from square one. Yeah. There are avenues that you can take to get accreditation and move forward with your education if that's your desire. But just like you said, James, it's not the end all be all thing. It's not something we have to have. But if you want it and you're feeling led to, there are options available.
Absolutely. Love it. And well, hey, one thing, you know, with the onset of YouTube and people recording things, one beautiful thing is you can go and you can listen and absolutely observe a lot of these classes before you ever take them. You can go to Master Seminary and watch most of their courses.
I've watched so many courses, dude. I take them courses. I put them on double speed and I just listen to them, man.
Well, and that's the great thing about it is you can take a class or listen basically all of that class for a little bit and be like, hey, man, this isn't for me. Like I don't want to go into this. This is not appealing to me. And so it helps you before you even get to that, understand what God has designed you for. So thank you for listening today. I know we went a little longer today, but Bible college for us, it was a long part of our life. It was a part of our life that was, it spent a lot of our time, our effort, our money, and that may have been your same story. And, that doesn't have to be the end of that story. We can continue on and we don't have to continue to harbor on those things. We can seek forgiveness and restoration and move forward and grow from those experiences and help others not experience the same things we experienced. And so that's why we're talking today. We hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have any questions, always feel free to reach out to us and let us know. And again, we'd love to see you in Indianapolis coming up here real soon. And so, Brett, until next time, to God,
not the pastor,
be the glory.
Found my new name, found that good grace, found that healing, and the tears fell down my face when I found my beginning that has no ending. Found that second chance, found my best friend, found my forgiveness, found my happiness. I've been singing ever since I found my freedom in you.
Thanks for listening to the For Freedom Podcast. If you enjoyed our content, do us a favor by liking, subscribing, or sharing our podcast on whichever podcast platform you use. Be sure to join us next time for the For Freedom Podcast.